Chapter 1. Why I'm a Democrat. I was born in the house I built myself with my own two hands. I'm sorry, that's not true. I got that from my official Senate website. We really should change that. Let me start over. My dad, Joe Franken, was born in New York City in 1908. When he was 16 years old, his dad, Otto, a German immigrant, died of tuberculosis. So Dad went to work and never ended up graduating from high school. In 1955, when I was 4 years old, Dad moved us from New Jersey out to a little town in southern Minnesota called Albert Lea to open a quilting factory. Now, a quilting factory doesn't make quilts. It makes quilted fabric that is very often used in garments, for example, in the lining of winter coats, hence Minnesota. The factory failed within 2 years, and our family moved to St. Louis Park, a suburb of Minneapolis. When I was a teenager, I asked my dad, why Albert Lea? Well, your grandfather, my dad had a strong New York accent, your grandfather wanted to open a factory in the Midwest, and the railroad went through Albert Lea. Uh-huh. And why did the factory fail? Well, the railroad went through Albert Lea, but it wouldn't stop. Dad wasn't a good businessman, but he was a great dad, and we were a very close family. Most evenings, Mom, Dad, my brother Owen, and I would sit together eating dinner on tray tables, watching Huntley Brinkley or Walter Cronkite. And because we grew up during the Civil Rights Movement in the early 60s, we learned some important lessons while we did. Civil rights, our parents taught us, are about basic justice. And when the news would be full of Southern sheriffs turning fire hoses, dogs, and nightsticks on demonstrators, my dad would point to the TV and he'd say, no Jew can be for that. Until 1964, Dad had been a liberal Republican, and Mom was a Democrat. I took after my dad, so until I was 13, I was Republican too. But Dad switched parties when the Republicans nominated Barry Goldwater, a guy who had voted against the 1964 Civil Rights Act. LBJ was right when he told an aide that Democrats would lose the South for a generation when he signed that bill, but he got my dad, and therefore me. Now, on this subject, some conservative commentators will say that a higher percentage of Republican senators voted for the Civil Rights Act than Democrats, and that's true. But the Democrats who voted against it were Southerners. Today, not one Democratic U.S. senator comes from the Deep South. In Minneapolis, Dad made a modest living as a printing salesman, and Mom supplemented our family's income by working as a real estate sales agent. The Frankens never struck it rich. I spent my wonder years in a two-bedroom, one-bath house, but I considered myself the luckiest kid in the world because I was. I was growing up middle class in St. Louis Park, in Minnesota, and in America, at the height of the middle class in America. I believed I could do anything I wanted, except possibly opening a quilting factory. I'd learned that lesson the hard way. For most of my childhood, I thought I was going to be a scientist of some sort. When the Soviet Union launched Sputnik in 1957, my parents, like the rest of America, were terrified. The Soviets had nuclear weapons, and now were ahead of us in space. So my parents marched me and my brother Owen into our living room, sat us down, and said, you boys are going to study math and science so we can beat the Soviets. Now, I thought that was a lot of pressure to put on a six-year-old, but Owen and I were obedient sons. So we studied math and science, and we were good at it. Owen was the first in our family to go to college. He went to MIT, graduating with a degree in physics, and then became a photographer. I went to Harvard and became a comedian. My poor parents. But we still beat the Soviets. You're welcome. I met my wife, Franny, during our first week of college. When our daughter, Thomason, was 6 years old, her first grade teacher assigned the kids to write about how their parents met. This was before parents met on Tinder, or Grindr, for that matter. I told her, I met Mommy at a freshman mixer. That's a dance. I saw her across the room organizing a group of girls to leave. And I liked the way she was taking charge. Also, she was just beautiful, and I asked her to dance, and we had a dance, and then I got her a ginger ale, and then I escorted her to her dorm and asked her for a date. My daughter wrote it this way. My dad asked my mom to dance, bought her a drink, and took her home. Franny's family was not as lucky as mine. When Franny was 18 months old, her father, a decorated World War II veteran, died in a one-car accident returning home from his shift at the paper mill near Portland, Maine. My mother-in-law, Franny is a junior. Fran was widowed at age 29 with five little kids. The oldest, Kathy, was 7. The youngest, Bootsy, was 3 months old. Fran heroically raised her kids on Social Security survivor benefits and her paycheck from working in the produce department of the nearby supermarket. Sometimes they had the heat cut off or the phone turned off. Sometimes, often, there wasn't enough to eat. While my childhood could fairly be described as carefree, Franny's was almost entirely carefree-free. She started working at age 11, and every penny went to keep her family above water. But they made it. All four girls went to college on combinations of Pell Grants and scholarships. My brother-in-law went into the Coast Guard, where he became an electrical engineer. When Bootsy was old enough to go to high school, Fran got herself a $300 GI loan to enroll at the University of Maine. She got 3 more loans and graduated with a teaching degree. Because she taught Title I kids, poor kids, all her loans were forgiven. Every member of Franny's family made it to the middle class, and they did it because of Social Security, Pell Grants, the GI Bill, and Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. They tell you in this country that you have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and we all believe that. But first you gotta have the boots, and the federal government gave Franny's family the boots. When I think about the values that motivate me to this day, the values that brought me in a very, very extremely roundabout way to politics, I think back to my childhood and to Franny's. I think about the economic security that was the birthright of middle-class families like mine and the opportunity that was available for families like Franny's who wanted to work their way up into the middle class. That, as I wrote in this year's Senate Patriotic Essay Contest, is what America means to me. First prize in the contest, a $25 savings bond, plus you get your picture taken with Mitch McConnell. And that's how it's supposed to be for every kid in America. You're not supposed to have to be rich or lucky to have a chance to do great things. Opportunity is supposed to be for everyone. And that's why I'm a Democrat. You see, Democrats are still the party of civil rights. And with each passing year, Republicans seem less and less interested in competing for that title. But Democrats aren't just the party of equality for all. We're the party of opportunity for all. We're the ones who want to give people the boots. We're the ones who stand for the middle class and for those aspiring to it. Not just because it's the fair thing to do, but because it's the smart thing to do. It's how our country has always worked best. My friend and political hero, Paul Wellstone, once held the seat that I now hold in the United States Senate, had a great way of putting this. He said, "We all do better when we all do better." So simple, so profound. We all do better when we all do better. It's almost like a haiku, if I knew what a haiku was, which I don't.